This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Friday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. I'm Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. My man, good Friday morning to you, sir. Whew. A lot to digest from what we saw last night. You and I thought when we woke up this morning, who's going to be half of that equation for the national championship? It came down to I know we were a little bit leery of sleep last night. And I thought we might get overtime there for a while. At least we got to go to bed at a reasonable hour. We'll get to all of our thoughts on that, but man, oh man, oh man, if that's what we have in store for tonight with Indiana and Oregon, just buckle up, America, because that was a great first half of the national semifinal.
Yes, what a week. How about the beginning of this week, Dave? The FCS championship coming down the way that it did, the semi yesterday, we'll get into all of that, and then boy, hopefully the coup de grace is tonight, and Oregon and Indiana can put the cherry on top of what has been already a sensational week of college football.
Yeah, and we got a great show here on this Friday to do just that. Of course, talk all about a wild card weekend, set the table there for the NFL, get ready for that Indiana-Oregon game. Going to have Thomas Gable, Warren Sharp, Lou Finicaro, Nick Whalen. What a show on this Friday. Let's kick it off with our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
And we're going to have Miami as one half of that national championship picture. Jensen, you and I ended the show yesterday, and I asked you a very simple question. Who's going to be, when we wake up today, who are we going to be talking about punching their ticket for the national final championship game? And you said it's going to be the U. It was the U. They cover the number. If you laid 3.5, they win by 4. The over gets home for us as well. It was a thriller. I think you and I both agree just by if you watch the game again, Ole Miss fans, this is not disrespectful. We felt like the better team won last night. I thought it was Miami, clearly the better team here. But kudos to Ole Miss. They figured out a way to scrap and claw and keep this thing tight, have the lead late, and Miami with a championship medal drive down 3 and basically salted away here. I know it got drama. There was some drama late with Ole Miss with desperation time. But my goodness, you really do have to tip your cap here to the U for maybe not playing their best game, Jensen, but figuring out a way to get to that national championship final.
You nailed it. I mean, the score of this game is not really indicative of how dominant, especially in the first half, Miami was. And, you know, Trinidad Chambliss making a couple of very suspect throws, two of them that could have gone the other way for pick sixes. And then you and I are not even having this conversation about that final drive from Carson Beck that probably now puts him into some rare air if he's able to get that national championship. Think about that, Dave. Carson Beck on the precipice of his third national title. And what a year plus it's been just for the individual of coming back from really intense rehab with his right arm. That team in and of itself, Dave, the beginning of the season for Miami, where they were, the win over Notre Dame, the roller coaster that it was, and then having to essentially campaign to get in as a non-ACC champion. I mean, it is really remarkable. We saw it last year, right? Ohio State gets into that first round. They steamroll their way through. Miami finds their way in as a double-digit seed. For all you people who are saying, oh, you know, we like Cinderella, and I don't know if you can qualify Miami as Cinderella other than the seed that's next to their name. That's really the only part of the glass slipper that you'll have there. But buddy, you're right. Let's give credit where it's due. All the turmoil, all the drama, all the off the field stuff that Ole Miss had to deal with, man, to be in this position and for Pete Golding to have his boys ready to rock and roll. And with everything that transpired to have a chance to win it at the end, hats off to the Ole Miss crew. What a performance they put on last night.
We're going to break this game down further as the show goes, but that it really is. I mean, all this talk about Miami and their two terrible losses, SMU, they didn't deserve, like, come on. You watch this team play, and you're going to tell me that this isn't one of the best college football teams out there? We got to stop some of that rhetoric talk here just to put up certain programs and not others, and stop asking if the U is back, everybody. They are back. They are absolutely back, been back. Mario Cristobal is tired of hearing that question, I think, as well. The other half will be set tonight with Oregon against Indiana, and that's going to be a very interesting matchup. 3.5 now is the number here for Indiana. Seeing about 48.5 here on the total for this one, Jensen. So Miami gets the winner of this one. I'm not going to say that they're rooting for somebody, but Mario Cristobal did coach at Oregon, and now I don't know if he'd rather play those guys or not. Indiana feels like right now, obviously, is the number one seed, if you will, in this tournament as the best team. Miami's going to have something to say about it. What do you make of this matchup tonight?
Yeah, total has ticked up just a little bit, Dave. That was similar to where we kind of looked at the not only the initial outline, if you will, at 47.5, but also kind of where the revenge angle and seeing this team or these teams again, a lot has changed since the beatdown in Eugene. Revenge on the mind, not only for Oregon, but I think Kurt Cignetti knows that he is the conductor of a train that is full steam ahead. Good luck getting in the way of where the Hoosiers are. They're going to be tested tonight because it is that conference rematch. It is an understanding of what teams do and how they execute. Just food for thought here, Dave. Miami now, as you said, is in. They would be a 5.5 point dog to Indiana should the Hoosiers get through. Mm. They are now up to 2.5 point dogs. They were 1.5 last night against the Ducks, up to 2.5 this morning should it be Oregon in Miami for the national title.
Fascinating. January 19th is going to be a great national championship game, no matter who is in there against the U on the other side. Speaking of Miami, Mike McDaniel has been shown the door after 4 seasons there as the Dolphins head coach. This is something you and I talked about when Troy Aikman, we heard that news last week that Aikman was coming in as a consultant, because obviously they're still looking for a GM as well. And remember those weird comments a little bit off, Mike McDaniel said he's going to help look for that GM as well. It doesn't exactly work that way. And we talked about kind of the hierarchy systems here, and Stephen Ross, no relation, said it was a very tough decision. He does. He has a great affinity for Mike McDaniel, but just felt like after their conversation that he could not go back to the well one more time. So 4 years is done. He's already been contacted by Detroit, maybe for their offensive coordinator position. I do think certain coaches make better the coordinators than head coaches. Not knocks on guys. Some guys are built better, it feels like, for compartmentalizing for one thing over another. Jensen, I'm not surprised by the move, but it did feel like at the end of the year, maybe he had done enough to prove, kind of like Raheem Morris in Atlanta, that the team hadn't quit, so therefore maybe you don't quit on this head coach.
Agreed. And I think it's more, imagine the timing here, Dave, that if John Harbaugh does not get let go of Baltimore, is Mike McDaniel still the head coach in Miami? I think that's a little more of a favorable outcome. Checking some prediction markets this morning here, Dave, up in my neck of the woods here in Northeast Ohio, a lot of chatter about Mike McDaniel and trying to bring him in here. Jim Schwartz is interviewing the current DC here for the Browns. But right now, Mike McDaniel would be the second best odds to become the next head football coach of the Cleveland Browns. But I'm with you, man. Imagine Mike McDaniel as the OC for Dan Campbell in Detroit with all those weapons. Oh my goodness gracious. What a track meet it would be every weekend.
And yeah, I mean, I think that feels like the right fit just from a wide angle here, looking at this from a deep lens. It would seem like that'd be great. But if he's up for a head coaching gig again in Cleveland, that would be interesting, or elsewhere. We'll see how this coaching carousel gets set in motion. But I think you're right about the Harbaugh connection here, Jensen, that a lot of teams, maybe Stephen Ross, that's part of the equation as the owner of the Dolphins, to say, if I can go get a John Harbaugh, no disrespect to the guy I got, but this would be an upgrade, at least theoretically here, so we got to make those command decisions. Wildcard weekend does kick off tomorrow, so we have a doubleheader of games there. Then we've got 3 on Sunday, 1 on Monday night to wrap this all up with the Steelers and the Texans. Davante Adams did practice in full, so it looks like he's going to be a run here for the Rams against the Panthers to kick off wildcard weekend. Roma Dunze, by the way, will be able to go, looks like, for the Bears on Saturday night. So good news there. Don't know if those guys are 100%, but this time of year, Jensen, can you play? That's what the teams are asking. It's the playoffs. We need you for the playoffs here, big boys. And they're going to get back out there. We've been making a little bit about that snow in Chicago Saturday night, Jensen. That could be a real deal and something to keep an eye on here for that Packers and Bears game.
already has come down a full point, Dave, 44 and a half as we wake up on DraftKings. Also, you mentioned availability. We have been trying to keep an eye on this 49ers injury list and kind of where the practice has been or lack thereof. Niners are up to 5.5. So take that for what it's worth. I know it's been pretty ominous from Kyle Shanahan about both Trent Williams and Ricky Pearsall. Not that I'm regretting my plus 4.5, but you can kind of tell where the market is going considering what those reports have been thus far.
I'm sitting on 4.5 too. And look, I know sometimes people don't go, offensive linemen are not point players. Oh, I think this one can be a point player in the market to move against you if Trent Williams can't go. And coupled with Ricky Pearsall, I do think that would be significant. A couple other news and notes here. Mike McCarthy, Big Mike, is going to interview with the Titans next week. Jensen, again, I look at teams with younger quarterbacks, and I look, you know, Mike McCarthy was there for Aaron Rodgers coming the formative years there. Helped win a Super Bowl with Aaron back in the day. I thought he did a good job with Dak, who was tutelage under Jason Garrett first, and then Mike took over. I could kind of see that transition with a Cam Ward in Tennessee. Does that make any sense to you? Because I think he's good with quarterbacks that have already got their feet wet a little bit in the NFL.
100%, right? And you're looking for a guy that's a proven winner and someone that knows how to do it day in and day out. What does a young team need? A guy that understands it. So fascinating to see what all those candidates will be if he indeed gets that second interview, second time around.
Do you think we should get a cut for wherever Mike McCarthy goes if he gets a job this year? Should we get a finder's fee?
We're
pushing hard for Big Mike. I think he's a good professional head coach. Let's come back. Let's talk about Miami a little bit more and Ole Miss. Boy, those numbers, they were changing, and they covered, but it was very dicey. That's next right here. VSiN by the books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Who is playing in the national championship when we wake up tomorrow and have this show? Who's going on tonight and who's going home?
Miami wins a thriller and a shootout.
Bam, baby. There it is, Jensen Lewis. How about that call? Miami wins. They win a thriller and a shootout. You and I were on the over. We were getting a little nervy if that over was going to get there, but it got there late. And what a final drive there by Miami. So, again, covering all numbers, if you laid the 3.5, Miami gets home with that 4-point win, 31-27 is the final. Again, we're going to break down this game in totality. But you and I did think that this would be a shootout. And I don't know if it ever felt like it was going to get there to the total and get over. Starting to trade in some of those field goals for touchdowns late. And really, Carson Beck, I thought Jensen, like when he lets it rip and he cuts it loose, specifically throws over the middle, he looks like an NFL quarterback. And I heard Mario Cristobal say after the game, he's going to be playing for a long time on Sundays. And look, that's Mario. He's going to champion for a seventh-year guy that's played college football. This isn't a kid out there. This is a seasoned football player at this point, Jensen. And I think that gets lost on some people as well. What'd you make of that? That Miami was able, facing adversity, down 3 late, and have a game-winning drive in the national semifinal to set themselves up to possibly win a national championship?
Yeah, let's start on the Carson Beck side, because I mentioned to you, part of the handicap for me was it really did not feel, at least through the playoff run, even at the end of the regular season, nothing sped him up. It didn't look like he was making bad decisions under pressure. When he needed to get rid of the football, he did. When he needed to tuck and go, he did. Last night, a perfect example. Did he miss a couple of throws? Sure. But in areas where he was not going to get hurt. Maybe one throw towards the sideline at late in the drive where Ole Miss might have made a heroic play and sealed the game. That might have been the one that you kind of like, eh, let's not do that. But other than that, I mean, down the seams, knowing when to put some touch on the football, and then just the parting of the Red Sea when he went left and no one was there untouched into the end zone for the go-ahead touchdown. What a moment it had to feel for the athlete, just knowing the journey that it's been. But also, as you said, the culmination of where Miami was from a mental standpoint. I think they believed beyond a shadow of a doubt, if it's close and we have the ball in Carson Beck's hands, we got a shot. Their running game was great. Fletcher had to be out for a little bit, but then he came back, another 130-plus rush yard performance from him. I think their defense, even with the inability to hold on to multiple potential interceptions without a pass rush, really, all night, Dave, really no pass rush against Trinidad Chambliss, and they had injuries in all three levels at all points of the game. Man, I am so impressed with what they did, and just another remarkable team victory when they needed it most.
Well, I was really hoping for a three-point win for Miami so we could cover all bases. I was on Ole Miss 3.5. We were on the over. And obviously, I know you've got a nice ticket on the U. Shout out to Danny Higgins as well. He's got a nice ticket here pre-college football playoff bracket when you get those 60-1s out there in Miami, because it looked like the narrative was, if you just listen to people, they weren't good enough to be in this tournament. That just feels like crazy talk now when you look here as the way that they've marched through this thing. And yes, like the Ohio State game, that drive up three to punctuate it, and Ohio State couldn't get them off the field. Ole Miss last night to punctuate that win. Ole Miss couldn't get them off the field. Numerous third down opportunities to either force a game tying field goal potentially and or force a fourth down and see what happens there, roll the dice with one play. And they could not get that done. So kudos to Mario Cristobal. Remember, this is a Miami guy in Cristobal. That's his alma mater. That's why he left Oregon to go back to the U. And again, he does bristle at that notion of how many times you guys are going to ask about is the U back, right? I know he's just tired of hearing that question. I think that was on display last night a little bit too. He does have a chip on his shoulder, Jensen. He really does, of like, he knows what it's like to play there big time football. And I think now for him, at least in his eyes, this is all he's known. Growing up in Miami, playing at Miami, and now coaching at Miami, he doesn't want to hear all that talk about when he wasn't there. Because when Mario Cristobal has been there, at least in his eyes, Jensen, this is what he knows Miami football to be.
I thought illuminating, and one of the few things Kirk Herbstreit got right last night was you've got to build slow. And there is something about our day and age now of big-time college football. Dave, we're going to see it play out at LSU, ironically, with Lane Kiffin. There is an expectation to win immediately, especially at some of these big-time blue-chip programs. It took a while for Mario Cristobal to infuse the culture that he believed would be that necessary foundation. The physicality, and let me underline this with the overall tournament in and of itself to this point, Dave. I went to Vanderbilt. I love my Commodores. I thought they took a great step forward with Clark Lee this year. But I am blown away by how much the SEC overall has gotten pushed around and physically brutalized through this tournament. I mean, it has been remarkable. And even you watch the first half objectively last night, Ole Miss had no answer. None.
No.
It was men against boys, just kind of watching the physicality. And I think that's where Mario Cristobal wanted to be. He said, in no uncertain terms, fellas, we are going to control the line of scrimmage. We are going to impose our will. And he got probably a little bit of that from Dan Lanning, because we watched Oregon. Okay, we're going to see it play out tonight. Dan Lanning's this way. Kurt Cignetti is this way. You are looking at the physicality now of where the top team in the ACC, at least where we are right now in Miami, it has been the Big Ten's world here in the college football playoff, at least the last handful of years. And Dave, if I'm waking up and I'm an SEC coach this morning, and even Pete Golding to a certain extent, you better look in the mirror. You can no longer have the advantage of paying players, you know, under the table. Everyone has a level playing field where that's concerned, but you need to start getting the grit back. It was almost embarrassing throughout these first couple of rounds to look at how soft the SEC teams were. We're not used to seeing that, Dave, But that is a huge indictment. That's on the Kirby Smarts of the world. That's on the Kalen DeBoers. I mean, what an embarrassing run for the, and that hurts to say as an alum of an SEC school, but you got to call it what it is. They got absolutely pushed around left, right, and center this entire college football playoff.
Yeah, they play, and I know people are getting on me a little bit because, you know, the targeting call, and I said, look, even though I was on the Ole Miss side, I didn't like the call. They right. play on the edge. They're closer to the old school Miami for those of us of a certain age, and that's what Cristobal has brought back to that, and I like that. I mean, that's just tough football. Man up. They out-physical Texas A&M. They beat up Ohio State, and they beat up Ole Miss. And by the way, I do want to give Pete Golding and Ole Miss some credit here. I thought they're going to get rolled after the first two series. They had no answers for the blitzes. They did adjust, and Trinidad is a special player, and they were able to figure out ways to make plays as the game went on to at least get back to a level playing field, so I was impressed by that. But you're right. I thought the better team won last night, and that better team felt like Miami for the majority of the game, even though the score would not indicate that at 31-27. You want to bet smarter with Smarter Insights? Right now you can check out at VSiN.com. Greg Peterson, Hoops, has got his college basketball best bets up for you. Zachary Cohen's got his Oregon-Indiana preview. Dave Tooley, his takes and best NFL bets are ready for you. Later on today, you can check out Zachary Cohen's NBA best bets. JD, the Iceman's got his NHL picks and props. And Daily Racing from the weekend handicaps coming up here. So what you can get as a VSiN Pro subscriber? Well, $9.99 for your very first 30 days. You can see all the options we have at VSiN.com/subscribe. Oregon, Indiana, that's going to be the other national semifinal tonight. Again, 3.5 is what we're seeing here, 48.5. It is that uptick. Here we go again, Jensen, kind of what we talked about with physicality. And that's what Mario Cristobal preaches. We certainly know that's what Kurt Cignetti is going to preach, and Dan Lanning as well. Now, that first time around, 30-20, goes to Indiana. They were 8-point dogs in that game. And now you flip it around here, and they're 3.5-point favorites. I know a lot of people like to buy Oregon for that reason alone, Jensen, that you get some value there from the first time around. But this isn't Eugene. It's a neutral at Mercedes-Benz tonight.
And I think, again, just kind of what we alluded to earlier in the week is the physicality of Indiana is remarkably high right now. The confidence could not be higher. And can you recreate what you just did a week or so ago if you're Oregon? The most complete victory in all facets against Texas Tech. I have told you this is part of maybe one of the biggest parts of my handicap. We are talking 18 to 21 year old kids here, Dave, and to ask them to recreate what they just did, different when it's a professional and you do it for a living, the emotion of this game will be sky high. Can Oregon really balance the revenge on the mind? And it'll be there with the adrenaline, but the execution against a very sound, a very detail-oriented Indiana defense.
It's going to be the Big Ten against the ACC in the national championship one way or another. You know, Duke won that league. Virginia won their bowl game. Maybe the ACC wasn't as bad as everybody made them out to be when they were trying to keep Miami out of this tournament. When we come back, let's talk about what we're going to see in Wild Card weekend, including the weather could be a factor there for the Bears and the Packers. We got the Rams and the Panthers to kick it all off. That will be next right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue the Friday morning edition of VSiN by the Book. Going to go to Thomas Gable in Atlantic City in the next segment. Cannot wait to hear what TG's got on the books this weekend. For Wild Card Weekend, of course, the national championship, and we have the semifinal game tonight between Indiana and Oregon. And everybody watching on FanDuel Sports Network, good morning to you. Listening on SiriusXM Channel 158. Mom and Dad, enjoy you, Jensen, as always. Call you Jay, so you look wonderful, as always. And my boy, Ferdy Tontino, listening to the program back home in D.C. Let's get to a couple games going on this weekend. Starting off with the first one to kick off Wild Card Weekend, it's Los Angeles, the Rams, taking on the Panthers. This is one of the biggest spreads you're ever going to see as a road favorite anywhere in the postseason. Tens are what we're seeing now. There were some 10.5s out there. And you could probably still shop around and try to find those. The total hasn't moved a whole lot at 46 here, Jensen. I think the correlated belief would be that if you're going to take the points with Carolina, you should look to an under. If you're going to get risky and lay the 10, you'd probably be looking at the over. Do you see it the same way?
I do. Sharp seeing it very much the way you are at Circa, Dave. Remember, we talked with the maestro, Mike Palm, yesterday, said they got as high as 11 and then had some pretty significant buyback to get not only to 10.5, but they're down to 10 as we look at it this morning. 47% of the bets, 93% of the handle in favor of the Carolina Panthers. And as you alluded to, the under also seeing a significant differential, 38% of the bets, 86% of the handle. So Carolina and the under. Right now, too, shop around for that total, because I do believe DraftKings is down to 45.5. Circa still has 46s out there. So again, wherever you may be wanting to go, that's why we always advise shopping around for it. You and I on the Panthers already at 10.5. Those 10.5s are available at DraftKings. So I'm with you. The weather is going to be pretty solid, but if it does get into a track meet situation, I think you and I would agree that very heavily favors a Rams offense that, hey, there's been some hiccups here last couple of weeks, but man, if they're well oiled tomorrow afternoon, it is going to be tough for Bryce Young and company to keep pace.
I lean to the over, Jensen, but again, the only way that gets there to me is they've got to do what they did the first time around when they beat the Rams, and that's turn Matty Stafford over, right? I don't see the Panthers being able to have 10 play drives three times in the game for touchdown drives, right? And, you know, like to get your 21, mix in a couple field goals, get that thing to 27, hope that's good enough. Like, to me, they've got to have short fields here. They're going to have special plays, whether that's special teams or otherwise, in order to play these. They play the Rams straight up, they're going to get beat, period. End of discussion. They're not good enough to beat the Rams on an even playing field. They've got to turn them over. And that's the only way that I see that game getting played to an over. But I do think they have the propensity to do that. Stafford will give you a couple opportunities here. And if the Panthers can take advantage of those opportunities, then I think that under could very much be in play. You're going to watch these games this weekend. Maybe you're getting a little bit hungry when you're watching all these beautiful football games we have. Well, football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Spend $129, get 2 pounds of wings, and save 50% off site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase is required. See the site for all of the details. You know, when you're watching that Miami-Ole Miss game last night and the numbers pretty dominant towards the Miami side, although the score, with only being a 4 points spread there, maybe says otherwise if you didn't watch the game. I think the same could be said for the last time the Packers and Bears played. And Dan Orlovsky, former quarterback in the league, now doing work over there at the Four Letter Network, had this take about what he saw last time out between the Packers and the Bears and what he thinks that means for this time around.
I think the Packers win. I think the Packers win handily. I'll ask you, because it's a study of yours. Give me one thing Chicago does well defensively outside
turn
of
the football over.
Outside of get the ball over.
And it doesn't matter. You can't take it away from them. They take the football over.
Unintended.
I think teams give it to them at times. But they don't have anything else. There's nothing else that this defense is good at. It's eventually that catches up to you.
Shout out Shea Pepler. I was working with Shea back in the day in Chicago. Jensen, I look at that and I go, they don't do anything well? Like nothing well? Look, I'm on the side of the Packers here. I do think that I don't disagree that necessarily the Packers, I don't want to say handed the Bears, but a lot of things had to happen at the end of that game in order for the Bears to make that miraculous comeback. But does that seem a little harsh in the evaluation that they do nothing well defensively?
Okay, so let's qualify it, because Ryan Clark, and again, in a rare position where he actually got it right, they are one of the best defenses at taking the ball away. Now, yes. What happens in tomorrow's, let me underline the conditions. Remember, we are going to be in a situation, in all likelihood tomorrow, Dave, significant wind present throughout the game. Okay, so if you're looking for the howitzer, yes, Caleb Williams can throw it through a hurricane. But what is the ingredients that are winners in the NFL playoffs? You have to run the football. Do we believe that Caleb Williams and this offense can do that against a Packer defense that in the division, Dave, has kind of had their way with divisional foes? We've got an absolutely ridiculous trend that is active upcoming for this game in Daily Gridiron. And it really emboldens where Dan Orlovsky is coming from in his take on just the Bears defense. Now, if this game, Dave, is just cold, like we would anticipate any January game would be in Chicago, and it wasn't significant from wind or snow, I think the Bears are in a much better position here to fight fire with fire. I don't know if that's going to be the case. If you're asking Chicago to win this game running the football against the Packers defense, then I wholeheartedly look towards where Dan Orlovsky is coming from with the Packers. Think about this too. This is the third time that these teams are going to face each other. And we know that it is so ridiculously difficult in that third timeout. It's all about execution. Who do you want to err on, Dave? Do you want to err on Jordan Love, who's been in the playoffs before, albeit it's not a lot, but he's been there. He understands the atmosphere, especially having to play on the road. Or do you want a postseason newbie here in Caleb Williams with the weight of the world? Dave, I said this to you at the beginning of the week. You've lived there. You understand it. It's been a long time since we've had this kind of anticipation and this expectation for a Chicago Bears team. That is a lot to deal with when you're getting dressed in that locker room and getting ready to take the field for what is the most important four quarters in really the last decade for this team.
Yeah, numbers bear it out, right? When you go with experienced quarterbacks in the postseason versus first-timers, you normally want to be on the side of the experienced quarterback. I'm with you on that. I'm going to end up on the Packers side here. Even though I do think that I don't know how Caleb's going to go. You can't see it until you see it for the first time. I was more impressed with the Bears in defeat the first time at Lambeau Field. I thought they played a better football game, at least in that second half, against Green Bay. And I was more impressed with Green Bay in defeat the second time around at Soldier Field. It's odd, right? That I felt like, wow, that I felt like each result should have been flipped by the way that they played those games on those particular days. So they're probably where they should be, maybe in an inverse reaction here at 1-1, and you break the tie this weekend. I will say this, it was kind of funny that you saw on Twitter, breaking news, Bears starting quarterback Malik Willis is questionable with a shoulder, so their backup Jordan Love is going to have to play here, tongue-in-cheek, obviously. But that is interesting that there are some fans out there in Green Bay that kind of look at Willis and go, boy, would he be the better option than Jordan Love, who's coming back from a concussion, right? And Willis, by the way, has not been yet cleared to play this game, but it would be obviously a backup role. Jordan Love's playing this game. He has been really good in the postseason. We're talking about this with the Eagles. Can they flip the switch and somehow they play better in the postseason than they do in the regular season? Jalen Hurts and the otherwise. I don't know if there's a thing to that, but what do you make of that? If Willis is not available and you got to go with Jordan Love, who we have not seen since the concussion, do you worry at all that he's not the same guy that we thought he was going to be?
I think it bears out for any quarterback, right, that's had to go through it. Just career stats here for Jordan Love, and this is the regular season. Six times he's faced the Chicago Bears, 4-2 record, over 1,200 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, a passer rating of 116.6. I would say if you are an objective Packers fan, and maybe there's not a lot of them, the numbers don't lie, at least in the head-to-head matchup here. So, hey, they played a classic this year. Anxious to see what happens this time around on Saturday night. And I do believe that the elements, Dave, are going to play a massive role in this spot. I'm already under the 46.5. If you're just joining us, that number is down to 44.5 here this morning. I think we're going to see more movement that way as we get into tomorrow morning.
Yeah, heavy winds predicted for that one on Saturday night as well. And by the way, Packer fans, I know we always love the backup quarterback. If Malik Willis can't go, you don't want the backup this week. That would be Clayton Tune. He would be the backup here if Malik Willis and that shoulder are ruled out. So you better hope that Jordan Love is okay. We all are, because we want to see the best of the best play this time of the year. The best that we've got, Thomas Gable, going to join the program next. We'll get it from the book side. What does he need there in Atlantic City? That's all coming up right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Warren Sharp, Lou Finicaro join the program in the next hour talking all things NFL. Might sneak in a little UFC with Lou if we can. Yes, UFC's coming back, people. I know it feels like it's been on hiatus forever, but this show is called VSiN by the Books, and we have a great affinity for our next guest, Thomas Cable, who does a great job of running the book at the Borgata in Atlantic City. You can give him a follow on X at T-Gable Sports. Joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. TG, always great to catch up with you, my friend, on a Friday. What we saw last night with Miami in the national semifinal, that must have been wild swings. Were you seeing a lot of in-game last night on this game there at the Borgata? Are people now attuned? If they don't like the number, just wait. You might get a better one in-game?
Oh, sure. I mean, in-game wagering just in general has really, really grown by leaps and bounds in the last few years. And certainly when you get standalone events like this, tentpole events where, you know, it's a playoff game and a college semifinal game, you know, the advance wagering is always good. But, I mean, in-game just is magnified even more so. We needed Ole Miss going into that game last night, and even the in-play money on Miami was there as well. So not a great result on the side with for us with Miami covering not only the 3 but the 3.5 there. And you know, give Miami credit. The we know how good the lines are for Miami, and that offensive line last night, I thought, was just a tremendous job. The run game for Miami really was tough for Ole Miss to stop. And Carson Beck, I mean, he give him credit too. The played tremendous and got the job done when needed. So Miami's going to be going into the national championship game as a dog. We know that. They're going to be a dog to either Oregon or Indiana. But this Canes team that, you know, I guess there was some question of whether they deserve to be in the playoff or not. You know, obviously a lot of the rhetoric was around Notre Dame at the time. People were questioning Miami a little bit, but they have answered those questions loudly and clearly, and now playing for a national title.
TG, I'll ask you about Oregon, Indiana coming up tonight in a moment, but you mentioned not only the resounding rebuttal, if you will, from Miami, it is a resounding indictment of the SEC now. And it's not just this year. I told Dave earlier, and I'm sure you probably have some thoughts on it. They got absolutely pushed around left, right, and center. They had half the field in there, could not reach the title game. Now 3 straight years where the SEC will not appear there. The last time that happened without winning a title, you got to go back to when I was in high school, 1999 through 2002. I know I'm dating myself here a little bit, but all that being said, we're going to get a Big Ten team back in the national title game. Where do you guys stand with what you will need tonight? And then now with Miami in, how does that set you up for where your futures are as well?
Yeah, Miami's a good result for us in terms of the futures. Oregon is a decent result for us as well. Indiana is actually our best result in the futures. So
wow.
Now, in terms of this game, though, with Oregon and Indiana tonight, Indiana opened 4, down to 3.5, pretty much market-wide, 3.5 right now. And, you know, you saw some more respected money come in there on Oregon, grabbing the 4. And you still hear some cases being made here for Oregon, but the public, by and large, is all over Indiana here. So we will probably need the Oregon side here tonight. Total sitting 48.5. Not too much of a decision on the total for us at the moment, but yeah, I mean, it's been heavy recreational money on Indiana for sure. And, you know, let's give this program credit in general. I don't know how much people keep up on it, but while this team is competing for a national championship, they're also winning the transfer portal right now. These guys have picked up a lot of guys for next season already right now. So Cignetti, you know, has done just an unbelievable job, probably one of the best coaching jobs maybe in history in college football in terms of what he has been able to do here in just a couple of years with this program. And, we talked about Miami's line and how they play in the trenches. Indiana This is going to be tremendous watching this Indiana offensive line tonight go up against the Oregon defensive front. So we know how good Indiana is at the line of scrimmage. And you have really, for my money, the two best quarterbacks in college football right now going head-to-head tonight. So we've seen this matchup before this year. We know what happened in that game in Eugene. Different story here tonight, but certainly in terms of where the money is going right now, looks like we're going to need Oregon here.
Yeah, this is going to be showstoppers tonight here, maybe with the number one and number two picks in the NFL draft coming up in April. TG, when you look at it now, I'm almost going to round out that bracket there in college football with this 12-team format, and I'm sure obviously you guys took future action there before that tournament began. Are you seeing the same thing in the NFL now that we still have the big brackets going to start to get filled in this weekend with wildcard weekend? Are you seeing people run to the window now still on Super Bowl futures and or conference, or are they starting to go more game by game?
No, this is a very popular time for futures, in NFL futures in particular. So once the playoffs get announced and obviously everything is whittled down, a lot of people jump in here for not only the conferences, but obviously also the Super Bowl. So the NFC, this market for the NFC winner, for whatever reason, we have more written for that than the Super Bowl. That has been just an extremely popular futures market throughout the year for us. So obviously the Eagles for us, they're a big liability in the NFC. And Rams, we do have some liability on as well. That was really due to just one bigger wager into the six figures that we took a couple months ago on the Rams. But aside from that, I mean, we're in good shape on most of these teams, and believe it or not, the number one seed, good position for us to be in. The number one seed, Seattle Seahawks, they're our best case scenario in the future book, not only for the NFC but also for the Super Bowl. So I like that now. In terms of how people are getting involved in the futures, you always see that this time of year. Certainly, there's just a lot more action into those future markets as the playoffs begin.
TG, obviously, we have kind of like standalone games here now moving forward in the NFL postseason. So I'm sure your handle maybe fluctuates a bit more as you get, especially through the late hours of tomorrow and certainly into Sunday night. Right now, as you guys stand there, what is your biggest need of wild card weekend? And is there anything you've seen thus far that either you didn't anticipate going in with the matchups, or maybe something that really, really stands out from what you've seen thus far?
In terms of something I didn't anticipate, I don't really think there's been anything that's jumped out, but you know, the biggest needs right now for us obviously are it's going to be the Niners. That we opened the Eagles 3 between the Eagles money that's come in, and obviously the injury news there for the Niners, this is up to 5, 5.5. We're at 5 right now for that. So we're going to need the Niners. That's going to be probably our biggest need for the weekend. Rams Panthers also shaping up to be a pretty, we'll need the Panthers here. We're still at 10.5. So anybody who wants the Panthers and getting the 10.5, come see me. I'll be more than happy to accept that. But you know, the games that are pretty closely aligned, like the Packers and Bears, which is, around 1 or pick 'em, right now the favorites have flipped there. Bears, we opened 1, now Packers favored by 1, the Bills and the Jags, those games that are aligned around pick 'em, the betting has been great two-way action on those. So, heavy action, as you would anticipate for the playoffs. But it's been good two-way action as well for us in that one. And I have to tell you, the Monday night game as well between Texans and Steelers, I know it's the furthest game out. So typically that's the one that is kind of lagging in terms of handle. Not the case here. That game has been bet very heavily as well already. And that number's been bouncing back and forth between 3, 3.5. At 3.5, you'll take Steelers money. At 3, you'll take Texans money. And but it's been really good overall.
I'll tell you this. I know if TG says you want to make a bet, come see him. I'm probably not going to want to come see you, TG, because you always welcomed all my Cowboy money, and those tickets did not get home this year. Enjoy Wild Card Weekend, TG, there at the Borgata in Atlantic City. Give him a follow on X at T Gable Sports. When we come back, we'll get into all the changes, and we got Warren Sharp, Lou Finicaro straight ahead right here. It's VSiN by the Books.